The following is a home program on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th Canto, Chapter Number 3, Text Number 21, given by His Grace, Sriman Sankarshan Dasadhikari, recorded on July 1st, 2016, in Bandar Puteri, Malaysia.
Tasman gurum prapadyeta jagashu shreya uttamam shabde pareta nishnatam brahmani upasamashrayam. Translation. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of the bona fide guru is that he has realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and is able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. Jigyashu Shreya Uttamam, to inquire about the highest good. In this material world, we all share one thing. We all have one thing in common. We all want to be happy. Everybody is trying to find happiness. The difficulty is people don't know where to find actual happiness. They're looking in the wrong place. They misidentify with their material bodies and thus falsely think that they can be happy by gratifying the senses of their material bodies. But since the self and the body are not the same thing, the body is only a covering of the self, simply gratifying the senses of the body does not actually give any real happiness to the self. So to become truly happy, the individual self has to become reconnected with the Supreme Self, Krishna or God. Just like a fish must be in the water to become satisfied, if he's on the land, he'll become very disturbed. In fact, he will die on the land in due course of time. So at the present moment, we are like fish out of the water in this material world. The spiritual life is the ocean, and material life is being up on the beach. Somehow or other, we're fish who are caught on the beach. And therefore, we're suffering like anything in spite of all material arrangements. You can give that poor fish who is flapping in agony on the beach so many facilities. Give him a nice chair to sit in. Give him a car. Give him a nice house, you see. But that fish cannot be happy. He can only be happy when he's back in the water. So no matter what material facilities you may have in this world, even to the point of being Lord Brahma, the chief demigod of the whole universe, no matter what material facilities you may have, you cannot be happy here because this is not your home. To become actually happy, you have to revive your actual identity as the eternal servitor of the Supreme Lord. This is your secret of happiness. So how do you do that? How do you revive your eternal relationship as a servitor of the Supreme Lord? This is what this verse is saying. You have to seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The spiritual master is actually required. Krishna tells Arjuna, Yeme bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta shtate jana, mal bhakchanam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. He says, my dear Arjuna, the one who is my devotee, nahi, he's not my devotee, but the one who is the devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. So Krishna is not interested to see how much you're devoted to him. He wants to see how much you're devoted to his devotee. And then he knows, oh, that is my devotee. So you want to be recognized by Krishna? Then you have to become the devotee of the devotee. Otherwise, as far as Krishna is concerned, you are nowhere. This is why you need a spiritual master. Because without a guru, Krishna will never accept that you're his devotee. He only accepts those who come through the medium of the bona fide spiritual master. That's why this verse is very important. Prabhupada lectured on this verse. It's a very, very important verse. That you want, if you're serious to get real happiness, you see, beyond the pseudo happiness of this material world, then you have to seek a bona fide spiritual master. So where do you look for him? Where do you find such a bona fide spiritual master? Actually, it's not difficult. Simply be sincere that I want to fully give myself to Krishna, to God, under the bona fide spiritual master's guidance. Simply have that sincere desire in your heart, and Krishna will send the spiritual master to you. You simply have to sincerely desire to that experience that genuine happiness beyond material life. So how do you then distinguish who is a bona fide spiritual master? This is clearly described in this verse. Clearly described. He has realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberation. In other words, he's not a blind follower. The spiritual master is someone who has carefully analyzed and deliberated in all the scriptural statements. And he's realized it. He doesn't just speak like a parrot blindly repeating things. He actually has deep realizations within his heart of the transcendental science. So he can apply it in every situation. And not only does he have has he realized the absolute truth by realize the conclusions of the scriptures by great deliberation, he is able to speak in such a way to convince others of these conclusions. In other words, he's empowered by Krishna. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahi Tare Pravartana. Unless one has the empowerment of Krishna, he cannot spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. So the bona fide spiritual master, he has Krishna Shakti, he has the energy of Krishna. Therefore, he is empowered to connect you with Krishna. Because he possesses Krishna, he can give Krishna to you. But you have to give yourself to the spiritual master and to Krishna, and that's how Krishna comes to you. You cannot simply remain an armchair speculator. You have to actually dive into the ocean of bhakti, become a surrendered soul, and following the orders of the spiritual master and the orders of Krishna. Krishna says, satatam kirtayanto mam, always chant my glories. So he who is actually a devotee, he's always chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the verse concludes that those who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, should be understood to be bona fide spiritual masters. They have one, in other words, they have one business and one business only, and that is to serve Krishna. They have no other business. Not that they have, you know, during the week they have a business, and then on the weekend they have another business. They have one business and one business only, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for their whole life. And that's how to serve Krishna, how to spread the teachings of Krishna all over the world. That is their only business. Now, one can be a grihastha and be working a job and at the same time be a Krishna conscious preacher. because he's taking the result of his earnings and he's using that in Krishna's service. So it's not that one has to be a sannyasi to be a bona fide spiritual master. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a very powerful spiritual master. He was an employee of the British government. So it's not what you're doing for your livelihood, but it's what you're doing with the results of your livelihood that really count. Are you spending your hard-earned money for sense gratification? Are you spending it for practicing and spreading Krishna consciousness? You see? So if there's any questions, you can pass them up, write it on a piece of paper. You can ask me, I'm here. What is it? What's your question? You chant Om, but that actually the Hare Krishna mantra is more powerful than Om. Om is impersonal. Om is calling out, "Oh my Lord." Is it? It's like, what is your name?
Aruna.
Aruna? So if I say, "Hey you," you see, that's impersonal. But I say, "Aruna," that's personal. So Om is an impersonal way of addressing the Supreme Lord. Om is not his name. Om is a way of calling out to him. But it's not as, it's better to call Krishna, because that's personal. If I call your name, you see, that's more personal than just saying, "Hey you." "Hey boy," you see. That's, then you may understand I'm calling you, but "hey boy," you see. But it's impersonal. If I say, "My dear Arun," you see, it's more personal.
Aruna.
So the point is that you have to, if you want to actually attract the mercy of God, you should call to Him in the most personal way. And that's why we chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, some more questions coming in. I can read the handwriting. Hare Krishna Gurudev, please explain that how do we realize that we're suffering in this material world? Yeah, the difficulty is we imagine the suffering to be enjoyment. This is the difficulty. There's one author wrote one book, "I've been down so long it looks like up to me." So we've been suffering for so long in this material world, for millions and billions of lifetimes. But our actual nature is anandamaya vyasat. Our actual nature is to enjoy. So being in a suffering condition for millions of lifetimes, we just begin to imagine that this suffering is actually enjoyment. But actually there's no enjoyment here. Well, when one becomes a little sober, he asks, "Why am I suffering? Why am I suffering here?" You see. So you have to become a little intelligent to realize, I don't want to get old. Why am I forced to get old? You see. I don't want to die. Why is death being forced on me? You see. One has to be intelligent to realize these things. Shh. No talking. Don't talk. In the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, sloka 8, it is stated by Krishna, "Just fix your mind upon me and engage your intelligence in me." Please explain what is meant by intelligence. Intelligence is the discriminating factor that analyzes. The mind simply accepts and rejects. But the intelligence asks why. That's the intelligence. When devotees let us down, how do we respond, Maharaj? Well, that's it depends. If possible, you should instruct them if they're willing to hear from you. If a devotee lets you down, you should explain, "Prabhu, you made a commitment to that you were going to do this and you didn't keep your word. If you want to become Krishna conscious, you have to be a man of your word. You can't say one thing and do something else. You should train them if they're all willing to hear from you. When a devotee is preaching to a non-devotee, another devotee is distracting, what should I do and not do? This happens sometimes, I've seen. You know, a devotee is preaching to a guest. Another devotee is not a very good preacher. He just wants to jump in. I've seen it happen many times. Another devotee wants to jump in, but this is offensive. It's actually quite rude. If I'm talking to someone and somebody else in the middle of a conversation wants to butt in and talk to them while I'm talking to them, it's rude, it's offensive. If that person wants to talk, let him go find somebody else to talk to. I found someone to talk to. Now, and he's a little shy, so he's thinking, well, here's somebody already turned on listening, so I'll just jump in. No. You should be bold and go out and find your own person to preach to. Don't cut in on somebody else's preaching. Want to answer some? Okay. You can have this one. What is the condition to wear tulsi beads? Can anybody wear that?
If you are going to give me a question, I have to read so I can...
You have to what?
I have to have a question in my hand.
Oh, okay.
You can choose.
Huh?
You're not going to pick and choose what can I...
No, choose? I was just the one that came up. I didn't pick and choose. The one that came up. If you want one more philosophical, I'll go ahead and answer that one and I'll give you a better one.
Can I ask any question? I just have to...
Louder, please.
I said, I can answer any question.
Okay. All right, well, go ahead and answer it then.
What is the condition to wear tulsi beads? Can anybody wear these? Yes, as long as they are not doing sinful activities, they can wear. Sinful activities means meat eating or taking intoxication. It's all sinful. So anybody who wants to wear this, please try to follow the formulated...
How many strands?
Huh?
How many strands? Can they wear three strands?
They can wear in the beginning one strand or two strands. Mm. Three strands is for the...
Initiation, yeah. Okay, I'll take this one. How do you understand we fell from the spiritual world? We hear from the bona fide spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, that we actually fell into this material world. That we learn by hearing from the bona fide spiritual master. That's how we learn. It's like, how do you know who your father is? Your mother tells you. That person who actually knows, they tell you, and by hearing and accepting what they're telling you, that's how you know it. So we know that we fell from the spiritual world because the bona fide spiritual master has told us we fell from the spiritual world. And when you actually follow the order of the bona fide spiritual master and qualify yourself to go back to that original position, then you'll have your own first-hand experience of how actually you're back where you had come from originally. Right now, the spiritual world seems very foreign to us because we're so accustomed to this material world. We may find it hard to believe that I actually came from a different world, that I was actually one of the personal associates of God Himself and His kingdom. We may find that hard to believe, you see, at the present moment. But when you actually follow the bona fide spiritual master and qualify yourself to go back to home, back to Godhead, and you actually, you're back there in your original position, you go, oh yeah, I'm back where I started from. You remember it. Once you get back there, you remember, yes, I was originally here, but I made a mistake. I founded the material world. So in the beginning, we put our faith in the spiritual master, but in the due course of time, we practically realize it ourselves, how this is, we're actually from the spiritual world. Now, here's one for you. If I don't become Krishna conscious, what will happen to me? So everybody has a choice. You can go back to Krishna or you can stay in the material world.
Actually, the human form of life is meant to go back home. But if you don't become Krishna conscious, it's mandatory that every human being should become a Krishna conscious devotee. But if they don't become, then they know, if they are happy here, they are welcome to come back. Otherwise, it's an animal life. What is the basic thing that animals do? And animals and all living beings do? Eat, sleep, mate, and defend. What is the difference between human? Huh? What is the difference? Can anybody say, what is the difference between human? Are we want to remain the two-legged animals? Or we want to be a real human being to become Krishna conscious? That is Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness is for human, not for animal. If you don't become, that's your choice. You can remain animal with two legs, eat, sleep, mate, and defend, or you can become Krishna conscious.
The Vedic injunction is a tato brahma jigyasa. Now that you have a human form, you're meant to inquire about the absolute truth and actually fully absorb yourself in the absolute truth by fully surrendering the lotus feet of Guru and Krishna. So I hope all of you tonight will realize the absolute necessity that every one of you take up the pathway of Krishna consciousness very seriously. Otherwise, you'll take birth again in this place. I mean, we're talking very, this is not fun and games. We're talking serious business here. It's life and death. If you take to this pathway, you're going to get liberated from the cycle of birth and death. Otherwise, you're going to stay in karma chakra.
Well, karma chakra is later, but within this lifetime, they remain on the animal platform.
You remain like an animal in this lifetime, and you'll be an animal in your next lifetime. Now you've gotten the human form. It's a rare opportunity to awaken your dormant, enlightened spiritual consciousness that's there within you, sleeping right now. So if you don't utilize this human life for self-realization, you're not entitled to have a human birth in your next lifetime. You see? It means you're not interested in the purpose of human life. You simply run after sense gratification, you're definitely going to be an animal or a plant in your next life. You won't be a human being. So if you therefore don't misuse this human form running after sense gratification. Take this process of spiritual awakening very, very, very seriously. Otherwise, there's many species of life waiting. You can be a dog, a cat, a monkey, a pig, a horse, a snake. There's many animal bodies awaiting you in your next life. So a bird, you see, or a plant. So please don't waste this human life running after sense gratification. Take it very seriously. Why Krishna doesn't appear now? Actually, Krishna does appear now for those who are his pure devotees. Krishna becomes visible to the pure devotees. So, and he's also appeared for those who are not pure devotees, who want to become pure devotees. He has appeared in the form of the Krishna consciousness movement. This Krishna consciousness movement, which now is celebrating its 50th anniversary, its golden jubilee, is an incarnation of Krishna. Krishna has manifested as ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, so that anybody can come and be associate with Krishna by being a member of this society. Anybody who associates with this ISKCON movement and serves the mission of ISKCON is actually associating with Krishna directly according to the degree of their absorption in serving ISKCON's mission. So Krishna is fully available right here, right now. It's, are you willing to be in that mood of bhakti? That's all. You simply have to be in that bhakti mood, the mood of devotion. And then you will feel how Krishna is present with you, showering his mercy upon you at every minute. Here's one child asked, why chant Hare Krishna, Devi? Why chant Hare Krishna? You want to do another one then? What's the difference between animals and humans? You want to do that one? What's the difference between animals and humans? There's no name on them. Whose question is this? The difference between animals and humans? Is this your question? Who wrote the question? What's the difference between animals and humans? Raise your hand. You're the one? Okay, this girl here wanted to know. This girl with the glasses over here, she wanted another different.
You know what is the difference between animals? Have you seen the animal? What is the difference? They cannot read Bhagavad Gita. You see, they cannot read Bhagavad Gita, they cannot go to school. Now you understand? Animal cannot read Bhagavad Gita. So if you can read Bhagavad Gita, you are not animal. Is that okay? Is that okay? Or is, what else? What she says? What is she saying? You can read it. Speak loudly.
Okay, the next question is, why chant Hare Krishna? This chanting of Hare Krishna mantra is the most important thing we can do. It's called the Yuga Dharma. Krishna has appeared in the form of his name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's stated also in the Brihad Naradiya Purana, Haranama, Haranama, Haranama Iva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiya Danyata. Chant the holy names, chant the holy names, chant the holy names. There is no other alternative, there is no other alternative, there is no other alternative for self-realization in this age of Kali. So if you want to be actually awakened from the entanglement, the nightmare of material existence, then you have to chant the holy names of God. In the Satya Yuga, they did the mystic yoga system. They would do for 100,000 years. They would sit in mystic yoga, Ashtanga yoga. But we cannot do that in this age. We don't have the power to do the yoga like they formerly did. In the Treta Yuga, there was great sacrificial ceremonies that cost millions of dollars to perform. We don't have such opulence to perform great sacrificial ceremonies, nor do we have Brahmins who are qualified to properly chant the Vedic mantras to bring the desired results of the yajnas. In the Dwarpa Yuga, there was elaborate deity worship. We don't have the facility to worship deities like they did in the Dwarpa Yuga. But in this age, there's one thing we do have, and that's the holy names of God. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So if you chant Hare Krishna with love, with faith, with feeling, then you become a liberated soul. If you don't chant, some people say, we say chant, 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 they say can't, can't, can't. For such persons, they remain in the cycle of birth and death. Those who will not chant the names of God, they remain in the cycle of birth and death. So, kindly engage your tongue in vibrating the holy names of God. We talk so much nonsense every day. Talk, 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 talk. We vibrate our songs. It's like the birds get together and they chirp, chirp, chirp. The human beings also like to chirp, 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 chirp. We're very fond of vibrating our tongues like the birds chirping. But we chirp all nonsense, and by that chirping we are calling Yamraj, the god of death, to come and take us to his abode. So don't just vibrate nonsense like a chirping bird. Chirp, 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 chirp. You learn how to vibrate the glories of Krishna by chanting his name, by talking about Krishna, by glorifying the name, the fame, the qualities, the pastimes, the entourage of Krishna. You learn how to absorb yourself, your hearing and your chanting 24 hours a day in Krishna. Krishna should be the topic at your home. When the family gathers together, they should talk about Krishna. When you get together your friends, you should talk about Krishna. You should go out and give Krishna to the world, distribute books, spread Krishna consciousness. This is what human life is meant for. It's meant for Krishna consciousness. So this chanting of Hare Krishna is essential. It's more important than eating food to keep your body alive. This is the food for your soul. Don't starve your soul and feed your body. If you do so, you're simply committing suicide. Okay, now one for you, Devi. When the devotee does a sin or a crime, does the guru get the punishment? Haribo? Is the guru get the reaction?
I said you are reading the question and you answered.
Oh, when I read it, I should answer it. Okay, well, I'll give you another one in here. I think we run out now. Oh yeah, here's one. I haven't read it. I didn't mention reading Prabhupada's books.
Well, if you can answer.
Okay, I'll go to the other one I was reading from. When the devotees do a sin, does the guru get the punishment? Actually, the spiritual master does suffer. When his disciples engage in sinful activities, he suffers. So it's a great risk to be a spiritual master. It's not, you know, some, well, look, he gets, they feed him specially, they do this and that. It may seem a very privileged position, but actually it's a very dangerous position to be a spiritual master. Very, very dangerous. Any disciple that deviates from Dharma, he gets reactions for him. Prabhupada said, I'm prepared to go to hell for Lord Chaitanya. That's how heavy it is. The spiritual master can actually go to hell if his disciples are engaged in sinful activities. So it's a very big risk to become a spiritual master. It's not just, well, you get to be famous, have a big name. They put your picture up on the wall. Or you may think it's very glamorous to be a spiritual master. But actually it's very dangerous to be a spiritual master. It's done out of compassion. One becomes a guru out of a sense of compassion. wanting to help the fallen souls out of their plight in the cycle of birth and death.
But shouldn't we even accept the spiritual master? Mm-hmm. The spiritual master and disciple is a loving relationship. And if they're going to sin, it's better they don't accept the spiritual master.
Yeah. One is not going to strictly follow our vows, which are chanted at least 16 rounds every day of the Hare Krishna mantra. He's going to strictly avoid illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling, and don't take initiation. Don't be a dishonest person who takes initiation and then doesn't keep the vow.
Vow means human again.
Exactly. A human being keeps his word. See, you ask a dog to give his word, he can't do it. A human being that gives his word and breaks it, he's not a human being, he's a dog. That's a dog. Not a human being. A human being will keep his word. He will never deviate. So, in this way. And now a question. Why must we read Prabhupada's books? Because Srila Prabhupada is giving the most authoritative and powerful explanation of the Vedic teachings available anywhere in the whole universe. We are very dull-headed in this age of Kali. We are short-lived. We are stupid people. We're not very intelligent. But Prabhupada has made this philosophy comprehensible. So Prabhupada actually ordered us. He said, every one of my disciples must read all of my books or they will fall down. That's how essential it is to read the books. You may say, well, I'm a grand disciple. I don't know. It applies to grand disciples as well. Every follower of Prabhupada should read all of the books, and then you come, and you have, this is called Shastra Chakshus. One who sees everything through the eyes of the scripture. This is not laughing matter. I don't know why you're giggling in the back. This is very serious business here. These people are sitting in the back and laughing and chuckling and giggling, like little children, immature little children. This is very serious business. If you don't take this seriously, you're not going to be a human being in your next life. You have to take this seriously. Very seriously. One must read these books of Srila Prabhupada and understand how to see everything through the eyes of Scripture. If you don't see through the eyes of Scripture, you will see through the eyes of your own desire for sense gratification. And such vision will keep you entrapped in the cycle of birth and death. So I see that the questions have run out. There's no more questions. So we can stop here. And we thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.